The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's time for our weekly medical consultation with Dr. Ray Wally. And this might be something of a hypochondriac's nightmare. Or in fact, maybe if you're not a hypochondriac, you should be listening even more, because we're going to tell you the things that you should be looking out for and that you shouldn't ignore and that should require a trip to see your local GP. Starting with Ray, unexplained weight loss. Sure, everyone loves to lose weight.
Sure, exactly. And the statement there is the unexplained part. So if you have no explanation for losing maybe 10 pounds, 4.5 kilos, more than 5% of your body weight over the last 6 to 12 months, really you should be looking into that. Hopefully it is nothing, and mostly it will be nothing. But even with people with no symptoms, if there is unexplained weight loss, they need to go and talk to somebody about it.
I suspect people might think, well, I've been looking after myself better. I've been a bit more careful. So they might fool themselves into thinking there's nothing wrong.
Sure. And a lot of the people come to me, unfortunately, when they come to me, I weigh them and they haven't actually lost any weight. And they just believe that they did. So in things like, have you noticed the ring on your finger get looser? Have you noticed your clothes get looser? But I'm afraid there are people who think they've lost weight when they haven't lost weight.
Okay, if you have lost weight, though, what sort of adverse reasons might there be for that?
Unfortunately, you know, sort of what you would tend to do is all examinations start with a history. So you do a systems review in regard to, going into bowel symptoms, urinary symptoms, any cough, things like that. And invariably, to reassure somebody and to reassure the GP as much as possible, as much as anybody else, is you do a list of blood tests. And there tend to be a standard list of blood tests we do wherever anybody comes to us. And you would tend to do the standard list of less. Like, you know, things like making sure that the person doesn't have an overactive thyroid, making sure they're not a diabetic, making sure there's no other sinister reasons. So we tend to do a blood count looking, making sure they're not anemic.
Or could it be things like cancer or liver disease?
Yes, possibly. But you tend to have other symptoms with all of those. And that's why unexplained weight loss in isolation with no other symptoms. And it's rare. It's not very common. But the point being is, look, if you look like a fool and you feel like a fool at the end of it, you're not a fool. You've reassured yourself. You sorted it out.
Can depression lead to weight loss?
Definitely. One of the big signs or one of the big symptoms of depression is a loss of appetite, not eating. Other things with that might be tearfulness, early morning awakening, poor self-esteem, guilt, things like that. But certainly those type of symptoms, and it can go with depression, is weight loss.
Okay, if you have a persistent or high fever, how long should you wait before you go to a doctor?
Okay, I wouldn't really give a specific time for this, is because people can have these temperatures without necessarily knowing it initially. But certainly if you've got something that isn't resolving after 3 to 5 days, but do treat it with ibuprofen as long as you're not allergic to aspirin type products. Do treat it with paracetamol. Especially in children. I'm afraid often children can't verbalise what an adult could do. So you're giving paracetamol or ibuprofen for two reasons. One is the fever, but also with fever goes aches and pains. And a child may manifest that by just being whingy or not being themselves or crying. But basically, if it is persistent after that, then you should be going and talking to somebody about it.
Shortness of breath. What can that be an indication of? Just been unfit or something more serious than that?
Probably the commonest cause of it is we're not allowed to use unfit anymore. That's supposed to be an insulting terminology.
Really?
Deconditioned is what we're meant to use.
Ah, you're kidding.
No, yes. You know, unfit is looked upon as insulting. So deconditioned is the PC word nowadays. So basically the commonest cause of that is you're deconditioned. So, you know, whether you are, the average amount of blood in a human being is about 4.5 litres, and it is more or less the same no matter what weight you are. So unfortunately, if you have a lot of adipose tissue, otherwise known as fat, you're going to be perfusing that as well. And if you're unfit and you haven't been walking or exercising...
Sorry, deconditioned. And Captain, correct you. You corrected me earlier. Deconditioned.
Deconditioned.
I prefer unfit, but go on anyway.
Exactly, yeah. Well, it's probably the word we put down on the computer because it takes a lot less inputs to spell it. But deconditioned is a nice terminology. But, you know, basically, again, don't underestimate how unfitness can make you breathless, especially if you're walking up a hill or you're doing more exercise again than you think you are.
Okay, but again, run me through the list of things that it might be. And I don't want to panic people, but you have to be aware of the possibilities.
And the last one on that list will always be the big C word, cancer. But before that, unfortunately, a lot of this can go with people who smoke, people who basically you know, haven't been looking after themselves or overdoing it. Maybe they're not sleeping. People who basically have a lot of stress on board, unfortunately, you start noticing your body. Your body acts as a radar with the symptoms, and you start noticing things when you were not getting on well, be it not eating, not drinking enough, eating the wrong things, drinking the wrong stuff, too much of the wrong stuff.
Okay, let's move on to the one that maybe people might find distasteful, particularly if they're about to sit down to eat their meal or they're eating at their kitchen table at present. But we are going to talk about unexplained changes in bowel habits. So tell us a little bit about what might be wrong there.
Well, everybody tends to have a standard bowel habit. Now, some of that might be that they don't do a toilet or a poo for every 3 to 5 days. And invariably, those people are suffering from constipation because they're not eating enough fibre. And you're meant to eat about 25 to 35 grams of fibre every day. Best time to do it is in a fibre provider in the morning, porridge, Weetabix, bran flakes, things like that. But if you are somebody who has got a regular bowel habit, be it a toilet once every 2 or 3 days, and then something changes that either you're going more often or you're not going at all, that is unexplained. So again, you should present to a GP for that. In the older population now, we have occult blood testing to ensure we don't have colonic cancer, which has got a higher incidence in Ireland than some Western world countries. Or, you know, if you have a changed bowel habit, again, part of the examination, unfortunately, after doing bloods, maybe a rectal examination, make sure there's nothing nasty there, or you may be referred for a colonoscope or a sigmoidoscope.
Okay. If you're coughing up blood or if there's blood in your urine.
Actually, before we get to that, a definite sign where you will be referred is if you start passing black tar like Guinness-like substance. That's called melina in medicine, and that's blood. And it's blood from the lower bowel. That is a definite reason to go to hospital. Don't go to your GP, just go to hospital because you're effectively bleeding from your lower bowel. And the worst thing about that is you can hemorrhage. So moving on from the bowel to your other topic.
Coughing up blood or blood in your urine.
Right. In medical terminology, that's hemoptysis. And definitely, again, when I was training, we would tend to maybe do an x-ray and just figure it out. Is there another reason for that? Now, in the last 2 or 3 years, you know, you'll find that the cancer services have been augmented, and our respiratory physician will say anybody coughing whatever amount of blood, that is a referral to one of the centres. And the centre will be a cancer unit because it is a cancer until proven otherwise. And unfortunately, the type of cancer is what's called a bronchogenic cancer in the majority of those, in the majority of people who do have cancer. The majority of people who cough blood don't have it, don't have cancer, but they may have, by recurrent coughing, burst a blood vessel. They may have had a pneumonia where they're coughing a bit of blood. In another group of people, it might be they have some heart failure where they become breathless and getting ankle swelling. They tend to have a heart history. Or in a rare circumstance, it might be somebody who's got off a plane whereby they've had a clot in their lung. Now, they tend to have other symptoms like breathlessness and pain on inspiration. And again, some of those will be more acutely dealt with. But if you've got something which isn't really bothering you, but you're coughing up blood, you will generally be referred to a specific respiratory unit.
Okay, we're going to keep going, even if we're scaring other people who are listening as much as you're scaring me. Feeling full after eating very little or changes in appetite?
Again, the majority of people I find with this coming into my practice, I'm 30 years at this, would be that they basically have become constipated. So, for example, they may have done a bit of travelling and their usual habits of eating a certain diet and exercising and drinking enough have been affected. And unfortunately, travel can do that, make you constipated. But if there's no other explanation other than that, unfortunately, you do need to be assessed. And, you know, in the minority of these cases of what we've all talked about, they tend to have the bad circumstances like a cancer. But you do need to be assessed. And that probably will involve referral for a scope. Again, having had an extended history, an examination by a GP, and a list of blood tests.
Okay, so you can have things like nausea, vomiting, bloating, or weight loss. Those are things that you need to get checked out. And what about things as well that you might get, what are they called? Reflux. I can't pronounce the word that goes before it.
Yes, GERD was another one. So basically, you could have somebody who is, if you think about it, the conduit between your mouth and your stomach is your esophagus. And the lining of your esophagus is, the analogy I give you is, it's like carpet. It doesn't take a lot of wear and tear. Whereas the lining of your stomach is linoleum, we'll say, marmoleum. And basically, it takes a lot of wear and tear. So what the esophagus is effectively a corridor. So what can happen is that you can have some of the contents of your stomach, and the stomach has acid where your your food is starting to be digested, some of that acid can come into your esophagus and give you the sensation of heartburn.
Okay.
So that is a bad sign if it's persistent. Periodic, occasional, is not a bad thing. But definitely if it's persistent, especially as you get over 50 years of age, you do need to go to your GP about that.
Okay. We're running out of time, and it's actually Lowe's word. You know what? I'm going to come back to some of the other ones that we haven't had time to go through today, maybe on a future week, because I don't want to rush them, and I think there's some important ones there that we need to get through again at a later date. So I'll leave it there for this week's medical consultation with Dr. Ray Wally.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.